Phoenix Books presents Hush Money, the 26th novel in the Spencer series, written by Robert B. Parker. This performance by Burt Reynolds is copyright 2015 Phoenix Books. It has been digitally remastered from the original 1999 Dove Audio sound recording.
Outside my window, a mixture of rain and snow was settling into the slush on Berkeley Street. I was listening to a spring training game from Florida between the Sox and the Blue Jays. Joe Castiglione and Jerry Tropiano were calling the game and struggling bravely to read all the drop-ins the station had sold. They did as well as anyone could, but Red Barber and Mel Allen would have had trouble with the number of commercials these guys had to slip in. The leisurely pace of baseball had once been made for radio. It allowed the announcers to talk about baseball in perfect consonance with the rhythm of the game. We listened not only to hear what happened, but because we liked the music of it. The sound of a late game from the coast between two teams out of contention on a Sunday afternoon in August, driving home from the beach. The crowd noise faint in the background and the voices of the play-by-play guys embroidering on a dull game. Now there was little time for baseball talk. There was barely time for play-by-play, and much of the music was gone. Still, it was the sound of spring, and it took some of the chill out of the slush storm. Just after the fifth inning started, Hawk came into my office with a smallish man in a short haircut, wearing a dark three-piece suit and a red and white polka-dot bow tie. His skin was blue-black and seemed tight on him. I turned the radio down, but not off. "Client," Hawk said. "Ever hopeful," I said. I recognized the small man. His name was Robinson Nivens. He was a professor at the university, the author of at least a dozen books, a frequent guest on television shows, and a nationally known figure in what the press usually calls the black community. Time magazine had once referred to him as the Lion of Academe. "I'm Robinson Nivens," he said, and put his hand out. I leaned forward and shook it without getting up. "Hawk may be premature in calling me a client. We need to talk a bit first. Among other things, we ought to find out if we can get along." "Who's Tab?" I said to Hawk.
"Guarantee half everything I get," Hawk said.
"That much," I said. "I can't afford very much." "Well, maybe we won't get along," I said. "I am dependent largely on a university salary, and I'm sure you know that is not a handsome sum."
"Depends on what sums you're used to. How about the books?"
"The books are well received and have influence, I hope, beyond their sales. Their sales are modest. I make some money on the lecture circuit, but far too often I speak because I feel the cause is just rather than the price is right.
Don't you hate when that happens?"
Nevin smiled, but not as if he thought I was funny. "What would you like to pay me a modest amount to do?" "I have been denied tenure." I stared at him.
"Tenure?" I said.
"Yes, unjustly."
"And you want me to look into that?" I said.
"Yes, tenure.
Yes." I was silent. Nevins didn't say anything else. I looked at Hawk.
"You want me to do this?" I said to Hawk.
"Yes."
I was silent again. "I understand your reaction. I sound churlish to you. And you think that there are causes of greater urgency than whether I get tenure at the university."
I pointed a finger at Nevins.
"Bingo. I know, were I you, that would be my reaction. But it's not simply that I am denied tenure and therefore will have to leave. I can find another job. What is at issue here is that I shouldn't have been denied tenure. I am more qualified than most members of the tenure committee, more qualified than many who have received tenure."
"Why, you think it was racial?"
"It would be an easy supposition, and one most of us have made correctly in our lives. But I am in fact not sure that it is."
"What else?" I said.
"I don't know. I'm something of an anomaly for a black man at the university.